Perek Aleph. We are up to Pasuk Zayin. Chavol Choval Nulach. We are in the middle of the Tefillah of Nehemiah. Nehemiah has received a report that the situation in Eretz Yisrael is very severe, is very bad situation on the ground. And we've learned to appear. I want to clarify why I made a mistake. I didn't say something that was correct. There were two opinions as to when this event occurred. According to Rashi, Rashi learns that this occurred 20 years in the reign of Dariyavesh, which was 20 years into the, which was much after the time that Ezra arrived in Eretz Yisrael. According to Tosfos, this occurred in the third year of Dariyavesh. 20 years means 20 years from the beginning of the Malchus of Koresh. And that would take us, go through the number of years of Achashverosh and Koresh, it takes us to the third year of Dariyavesh. It was before Ezra came to Eretz Yisrael, but it was still after the, it was after the Purim story, before the Beis HaMikdash was complete. After it was a year after Dariyavesh gave permission for the Jewish people to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. It took them four years to complete. They finished it in the sixth year, but this event took place before the Mikdash was complete. And he's here listening to the story, listening to the situation. According to Tosfos, the terrible situation that they're in, not only is there no Beis HaMikdash, there is no, the walls of the city have been breached, and the city has been set on fire, and there is a very great churban. Now here in Nehemiah is mispalel to Hashem. He expressed a very elaborate prayer, and he says now pasuk zayin chavol choval nulach. Chavol literally means a wound. We have sabotage. Injured you. Sabotage. Loshon lav like a chavol. Sabotage. Chavol. The sabotage. So here it means that we have, look at Rashi. Look at the Mitzvah Sion. Chavol inyin hashchosa. Ki hishchis kol basar. Okay, by the Mabel. The Targum translates what hishchis, Targum unkelis, chaviloi. Chavilo, they have damaged, they have destroyed. So it's a very unusual expression. Chavol choval nulach. Nehemiah is saying to Hashem, we have destroyed you. Doesn't make any sense, literally, because it's not possible, we all know, for a human being to harm Hashem. You harm yourself. You don't harm HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is a very difficult expression. Chavol choval nulach. We have caused you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hashchasa. Again, so how do we understand this? It's not to be taken literally. It's to be taken that we, by our sins, through our actions, have brought about a very great chilul shem shamayim, and that, in essence, is damage to the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's impossible for a human being to cause any harm literally to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but there is some concept of a disgrace to the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or you can say that every neshama is chelek eloka mimal. Every person is in a chelek, every neshama is a chelek of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when a person kihishchis kol basar darkoi al aris, the person contaminates his neshama with sin, enochanami, he really to a certain degree has caused a hashchasa. Kaviyacha, we all have a sensitivity. If a person does an avera, a person does things that he should not be doing, he brings to his neshama churban. He can really destroy the neshama. The neshama is no longer sensitive to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It causes harm to his neshama. By a person committing horrible sins, and being that in the person's neshama is a chelek of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is considered to be a hashchasach Chaviyachol to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chavol choval nulach. We have destroyed you, Chaviyachol. V'loy shamarnu es ha-mitzvos. We did not guard the mitzvos. V'es ha-chokim v'es ha-mishpotim asher tzivitzo es Moshe Avdecha. And we have not observed the chukim and the mishpatim which Moshe, your servant, you have to read the pasuk out of order, you have commanded us through Moshe Rabbeinu. In Farshim, want to explain very similar, the word shamar refers to the loisase's native commandments, and the chukim and the mishpatim means that we fail to observe the positive commandments, the whole spectrum, we completely are in violation of all of your mitzvos. Okay, that is the similar interpretation of the pasuk. The Farshim also explains the word chavol, there's a medrash, the medrash says chavol comes from, is used as collateral. And the reason why the word chavol is collateral, because chavol also means a rope, a chevel, a rope, the same letters as rope. When a person takes collateral, you lend, if you borrow money and you give collateral, you can take my diamond ring, you can take something which is very valuable to me, the person who has lent the money is as if he has a rope attached around your neck. He has you in check, because if you just lend someone money and there's no guarantee the person will pay back the money, pay back the loan, so then it's a very great risk. So then it's like it's wireless, right? Wireless connection. There are no strings attached. Who says that the borrower will honor the debt, will pay the loan? But when the lender has taken collateral, I'm not worried. I have a rope. It's a landline. It's not AT&T, Sprint, Verizon. This is the real deal. You have over here a wire, you have a landline, you have a connection. There's a rope attached around your neck in case the borrower does not pay. I will just retain for myself the collateral. So that's another word for chavol, collateral. That means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he was kind to us and gave us Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a pledge, collateral. What's the collateral? The Beis HaMikdash. Being that we did not observe Hashem's mitzvot, Hashem took from us, he collected the collateral, he destroyed the Bayis Rishon, and this is a medrash, this is Al-Shem Ha'asid. As Rabbi Miller told me, that many psukim over here, many medrashim are Al-Shem Ha'asid. Even though the Bayis, according to Rashi, the Bayis Sheni is already standing, or according to Tosfos, the Bayis Sheni is not yet standing. Here we are alluding to the fact that due to our sins of not v'lo shamarnu es hamitzvos ve'es hachukim ve'es hamishvotim ve'asher tzivitzo es Moshe avdecha, we did not fulfill the commandments, chavol chavalnu. Hashem has collected his debt. He has a rope around us. He's taken away from us the Beis HaMikdash, the Bayis Rishon, and the Bayis Sheni. And that's a medrash to explain the significance of the word. Let me read the words. It's a medrash rab, okay? Standard medrash, no esoteric medrash. Bamidbar Rabba. Bamidbar Rabba Parapasha Yud Beis. I'll read the words. Davarach Chavol Chavalnu. Ze Mikdash Rishon. Kemodetema. Im Chavol Tachbol Salmas Re'echa. How do we know the word Chavol means? The word, this word means collateral. It's a pasuk in the Torah. Im chavol tachbol salmas re'echa. If you take the garment of your friend as collateral for a loan. So it's a fairish pasuk in the Torah that these three letters, it's used different. Here it's chavol. Here it's chavol. Chavol. Chat of Patach, and there it's a komatz chavol, but it's the same letters. So therefore, the Medrash is saying that the words are related, and there it's referring to the collateral here as well. Lekach nikra mishkan, and the Medrash goes a step further. Why is the mishkan? It's very good for last week's parasha, Parashas Truma. Why is the mishkan called the mishkan? Lashon mashkan, collateral. So these things go very well together. Chavol and Mashkoin. Oma Aloya Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe Emo Lechem L'Yisrael She'yasu Li Mishkan. Make for me a Mishkan. She'im Yechetu. If they sin, they're not loyal to me. Yehei Mis Mashkein Al Yidehem. It will be seized as collateral in their place. I'm going to give them something which is necessary for their existence. The Beis Hamikdash, the Mishkan, the Hamakom Ashur Hashchina is the lifeblood of Klal Yisrael, and if they will not be loyal to me, I will take away their Mishkan. That will be the collateral for not observing the mitzvahs. And that's why it's called the Mishkan, and that's exactly what Nehemiah here is saying. Chavol chaval nulach simply means that we have caused you harm, but it means also a mashkoin. As I explained to you, the root of the mashkoin is because the word chevel, a rope, when you have collateral, it's like a rope. And here Nehemiah is telling us that we have been evil, you have collected the collateral, and I know al pi ruach hakodesh to Klal Yisrael in 420 years, that's really what the major is saying, is they're going to sin once again, and you will collect the collateral a second time with the bayis sheni. Okay, so that is one important medrash. Okay, now let's see the Rashi. Rashi pasuk zayin chavol shem davar. Rashi's point that shem davar means it's a noun, loshon hashchasa. Okay, it's an hashchos v'ches ninkot b'chatav patach. The ches here, it's an unusual use of the form chavol achatav patach. The ein yochal lepoish shabloshon poel. It's not a verb. Don't lose as a poel. It should be then collateral, if you want, if it really means collateral, literally, like it says, then it should be chavol, like it says in Shemos Perik Chav Gimel, chavol. Chavol means to do an action, to collect. I'm coming to collect. That's not what it means. So here it means, it's not really now. It means damage. So just the Rashi is pointing out that the fact that it's chachatav patach, we have to understand the pasuk literally, that you have damaged Hashem, which is unusual for Rashi. Rashi is always very pro medrash in Nach. Chaval nu loshen hashchasa k'moy chavulo loy avdas v'chein chibur Menachem. Pasuk in the middle, we had this, that you have not caused any harm, and Menachem ben Soruk, Rashi's companion, the author of Machberes, says the same thing. It means over here, it means damage. We have damaged you by not observing your mitzvos, which is interpreted to mean we have damaged ourselves. Loshon saginar, we have damaged ourselves. Each person inclines to chilek melukam imal. Okay, let's go to pasiches. Pasiches zuchor no es hadavar asher tzivi so es moshavdecha. Now he begins a series of psukim where Nehemiah says, Ribbono shel olam, let's go through the theme before, because it's hard to, one pasuk at a time is hard to bring out the theme unless we know the big picture. He's going to say now that even though we have sinned, remember what you Hashem promised. Your promise is, even if you have sinned and you are dispersed throughout the world, if you do tshuva, I will gather you in. I will accept your repentance, and I will bring you back to Eretz Yisrael. And that's what Nehemiah is going to say. We have sinned, we acknowledged our sin, and therefore you have to be true to your word, Hashem, and restore us and bring the Geula. So Zechor no es hadavar, remember the matter, Asher Tzivi, so which you commanded, Es Moshe Avdecho Lemar, Atem Tim Olu, in the event that you will sin. A mi'ila means a transgression, a very great transgression. And ani ofitz eschem bo'amim, and I will punish you by dispersing you throughout the nations of the world. But remember what you Hashem said. You also told us that v'shavtem elai, if you will do tshuva and learn the lessons of the churban, of the punishment of the churban, and return to me, ushmartem mitzvosai va'asisem olsam. And here is another allusion to shmiru, always refers to olosasei, and asisem is the mitzvosei. Then Hashem, I promise you, I will restore you to your land, even if you are dispersed in the farthest corners of the earth. In yihyeh nida chachem, even if you will be pushed, b'ktzei hashamayim, from the edges of the heaven, misham akabetzeim, from there I will gather you, v'havi oisim, I will restore you, el hamakom, to the place of sher bocharti, which I have chosen, l'shakein esh misham. So this is a paraphrase from a pasuk in the Torah. And does Rashi tell us where this pasuk is? Dvarim Perik Lamet. It is a famous word in this pasuk. That this is a really modern word. In the Torah, we have to. There are 5,888 psukim in the Torah. I'm sure you're aware of that. 5,888, and there's a Zohar, or there's a Yigra, I don't remember all the details, that each one of these psukim correspond to a year from the beginning of time. We know that in time there's going to be 6,000 years. We don't know what that means exactly. The Torah ends short of the end of days. The Torah ends only, they're supposed to be 6,000 years. Maybe we're supposed to go into Sefer Yoshua. I don't know what it means. But the Torah ends with 5,888 psukim, and each pasuk to some degree corresponds to a year of history. And the year, I don't know, what's this year's pasuk? I don't know. They always come out every year, they always tell you what this is pasuk. In hindsight, you can look back and analyze the past year to understand the significance. But this pasuk in Perek Lamed, in Dvarim Perek Lamed, is 5,000. What was the year of the Medinas Yisrael, 1948, the Hebrew year? Everyone should know that. Tav Shin Ches. Hey Alafim, Tav Shin Ches, 5,708. That was the Hebrew year. The 5,000, go in the Torah, Pasuk number 5,708 is the Pasuk Im Yihyeh Nidachecha B'Ktzeh HaShemayim Misham Yikabetzcha Hashem Elokecha Misham Umesham Yikochecha Ve'Aviyecha Hashem Elokecha L'Aretz Asher Yerusha Avosecha Ve'Yirishta Ve'Yitivcha Ve'Yirbecha Me'Avosecha. That famous pasuk which we say in davening, which refers to the kibbutz Golios, even if you will be dispersed B'Ktzeh HaShemayim, which is what we're reading over here in pasuk Zayin, which is a pasuk Tes, which is a paraphrase of Nehemiah, of what Rashi quotes the pasuk in Devarim Perek Lamed. That pasuk, check it out, is pasuk number 5,708. In the year 5,000, Halof and Tav Shin Ches, was the year 1948, the year when Medinas Yisrael was established, which began in a very large degree, in a very significant way, the beginning of Im Yihyeh, a place, a safe haven for everyone in Klal Yisrael to return back home.
What parsha is that in?
I don't know. Perek Lamed is Hazinu. I think it's Hazinu or Vayelech. Nitzavim. Nitzavim. Okay, Parashas Nitzavim, Perek Lamed. Rashi quotes the Perek Lamed. 5,000. You go count forward. You figure out where we're up to now. You figure out what pasuk we're up to today. They always say this. They darshan it in hindsight. You know, every year Rosh Hashanah. My father used to do this. He always in hindsight. Hindsight is 20/20. Yeah. You can always look back and you can fatayich the past year. We know is that they come to the new year by the goyim especially. They always have a review what happened this year. But by Klal Yisrael, it's also they have some very interesting things.
That'd be the end of Vayelech, because it's 41, 57 going backwards, and it's only 115 going backwards till 58, 88. It's
got to
be
Vayelech. Okay.
Towards the end of Vayelech.
So this pasuk test is a paraphrase of that pasuk in Perek Lamed, and here Nehemiah is demanding. It's a very interesting type of demand. You don't have this type of request often, where Ezra said, Nehemiah says, we acknowledge we're sinners, but you promised us, even after you punish us, v'shavtem, you will, if we will do tshuva, you will do your part. You will return us. You promised them. Im yihyeh nidachachem b'ktzeh hashamayim mishabeh akabetzeim v'avyoisim el hamokoyim asher bochar to the place which I've chosen to shakein eshimei sham. I'll bring you back to Eretz Yisrael. Pasuk Yud. And now he goes on to say, V'heim avodecha v'anecha. Your people, Klal Yisrael, they are your servants and your nation, asher podisa, which you have redeemed, b'chaychacho ha'gadol uv'yadcho ha'chazaka, borrowing from the expressions of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Moshe Rabbeinu said, after the chait ha'egel. Very interesting how he connects different psukim in Tanakh. And now he goes on with a very heartfelt, desperate request, pasuk yud aleph, ono, please, Hashem, tihino, Oznecha. He's repeating what he said in the beginning of the perek, what we said over here in Perik Pasuk Vav, he's now repeating what he said in Pasuk Vav. Tehi no oznecha kasheves, may your ears hearken el tefilas avdecha, to the tefillah of your servant, the el tefilas avodecha, and to the prayer of your servants, ha cha feitzim, who want liyira eshemecha, to fear your name. And then he goes on to say, make a private request, v'hatzlicha no le'avdecha hayom, please make me successful today, ona Hashem hatzlicha no, please make me successful today, usenehu l'rachamim, and grant and set for peace, lefnehu ish hazeh, before this ish, referring to Daryovesh, v'ani hoyisi mashke lamelech, and I was the Sar Hamashkim. So what he's doing here is, Nehemiah, let's discuss it in a general sense, we'll go through the details in a moment. Nehemiah is now going to go to Daryovesh HaMelech, Esther's son. Again, either this is in the 20th year of his Malchus, according to Rashi, or according to Tosfos, this is in his third year, and he's going to make a request to leave, to be issued a vacation, or to leave his post as Sar HaMashkim, and go to Eretz Yisrael, and to assist in the rebuilding of the walls of Yerushalayim. Ezra is taking care of, learning according to the opinion of Rashi, that the Beis HaMikdash already has been rebuilt, and there is a Beis HaMikdash. Ezra is focusing on the Kiddush of the Beis HaMikdash, but there has to be a wall around Yerushalayim, and that was never built, that was not yet set up. And this is what Nehemiah wants to do, and as we discussed in the first year we gave on Nehemiah, is that this was the theme of Ezra, to be poirates, to be goyder the pirtzos, the safeguards for Klal Yisrael, which is represented, which is symbolic of the walls of Yerushalayim. So he's now about to approach Daryovish, and he realizes Daryovish has in his hand the power of Chaim Bahamavis. He can say that you're a traitor. I don't want you to rebuild the walls of Yerushalayim. How dare you ask permission to leave your post as being Sar HaMashkim? He could suspect that there's some foul play, and he can kill him on the spot. That's what the king can do. And therefore, he was very scared and nervous that he's being misspelled, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should allow him to be successful in asking Daryovish permission to leave his post as Sar HaMashkim, return to Eretz Yisrael, even more, to be granted permission and building materials to rebuild the walls of Yerushalayim. Now, it's very obvious that the expressions here used in this pasuk are very similar to Yaakov Avinu in the bracha he gave his children when they went down to Yosef in disguise as the Mishnah Lamelech, and Hashem should give you rachamim lefnei ho'ish, and there it was, the ish was none other than Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef himself should be the one who is in disguise, shall give Rachamim to release your brother Shimon, and not abduct Binyamin that I'm sending with you, and to come back to Canaan in peace. So there, it's the same expression. So it's very interesting. Here we have over here a combination in these psukim of three different events. I don't know the significance, but yeah, you have to.
I know there's a similar pasuk in Tachna.
Yeah, what's the pasuk? We have here three different, a composite of three different events. Churban, Moshe Rabbeinu telling Klal Yisrael that even if there's going to be im yihya nidacha b'tzei Hashem Yishem yikabez Hashem lukecha, referring to the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, we have a pasuk in reference to the Chet HaEgel, and we have a pasuk in reference to Yosef and his brothers, three different types of tzaros. Three different kufis in Klal Yisrael where they were faced with a tzara, and a request was made, a tefillah was made before Kadosh Baruch Hu to bring a salvation to this particular tzara. And here it's fascinating that Nehemiah is taking all three, the Churban Beis HaMikdash, which refers to, I mean, that's really what's happening over here. That's really what Moshe alluded to in the Churban Beis HaMikdash, what he's doing over here to rebuild the Bayis Sheni, or to at least rebuild the walls, and the Chet HaEgel and Yosef. He's packaging them all together, and he's asking Kadosh Baruch Hu that he should be successful when he comes before Bar Yavesh make this request. Now, there's another very Yehud Pasuk?
Only part of it.
What's the part? The tefillah of your servant, the Tachan. Okay, so there is something similar. Okay.
Not as much as I thought.
Okay, so let's see the Rashi. The Rashi over here, Pasik Yud Aleph. Ono Hashem ti no oznecho kashaves betchilas tefilose amal loshon zeh shal techina v'chein le'achar tefilosei. So Rashi is telling us that this is the derech eretz of tefillah. The beginning of tefillah begins with a bakasha, and the end of the tefillah begins with a bakasha. That's the nusach. That's something that we learn from Nehemiah, unique character of his prayer, of a repetition of the request in the beginning and at the end. And in the middle, you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you remind him, you confess your guilt, Chavol Chaval Nulach, and you also remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he promised that if we do tshuva, he will reciprocate with bringing geula. Now, at the end of Pasuk Yudalef, begins to pray for himself. I'm now about to go before Dayavish and make a very desperate, very dangerous request, and I'm asking you for rachamim lefnei huish hazel lefnei hamelech. The melech over here refers to Dayavish. And he goes on to Amashke, Kemoy Mashke Lemelech Mitzrayim. He was the Sarhamashke, like we have by the butler of Yosef, and we have by Daniel. Well, Daniel was served in different capacity, but we have different people in Tanakh who served as Bezesh, Shapirashti Lamal. Look at the Rebbe Seinu, Ha Tar Shosohu Nechemia. We had in Sefer Ezra, we had mentioned there Tar Shosoh. And Tarshasa's Heter Shasa. Heter Shasa means they allowed him to drink from the wine of the king. Drinking wine of a non-Jew, we know today, is forbidden. It's Yayin Nesech. Wine that has not been cooked, that has been touched by a non-Jew, is forbidden. How then was Nehemiah allowed to serve as the Sar HaMashkin in the palace of Dar Yavesh, who was a non-Jew, or he was at least a not observant Jew, and there were certainly other non-Jews present in the palace, so all the wine had the status of Yayin Nesach. Chazal made for him a special dispensation, Heter Shasa, Hatar Shasa. The first two words are Hatar, Heter, permission, Shasa, to drink, because before you would serve the king wine, you had to sip from the wine so that the king did not suspect the wine was poisoned. If it's good enough for the servant to drink, then that is an indication that no one was suspected of us being a suicide bomber in those times. So if it was good enough for you to drink, we assume that it's not poisoned and the king can drink the wine safely. But in the process, you're drinking wine. They made a special dispensation because they needed an insider, they needed an observant Jew to lobby the king and to know what's going on for Klal Yisrael. And you'll ask me the obvious question we discussed before: how could it be that you get a Chazal? Since when do Chazal make special dispensations? You never hear such a thing that one of the chief of staff and president of the United States, they're going to be matter Joe Lieberman, or they're going to be matter Lou, what's his first name?
Jack
Lou, to Michal Shabbos. This is unheard of. They'll tell him that if it involves Chil Shabbos, don't take the job. There's no Orthodox rabbi that will tell him. And I've heard certain things. Okay, read the papers very carefully. But you have to read the paper. But there's no Orthodox rabbi that will permit. Will permit under normal circumstance, when it's not an emergency, for a Shomer Shabbos to take a job where there's going to be Chil Shabbos. So how here do they permit over here? Do they permit Nehemiah to drink from Yayin Nesach when it's clearly forbidden in Shulchan Aruch? The answer is this was before it was formally forbidden. This is a much later takana, Pasakum and Yayin Nesach, and many of even Muksa. At this point in time, there was no prohibition. If we would go and we would observe the people how they observe Shabbos, we would be shocked. The way they observe Shabbos at this point in time was much different than the way we observe Shabbos. There were much less restrictions. and it was not yet formally instituted by Chazal. This is before the time of the Bayis Sheni. Most of the Takanos came during the end of the Bayis Sheni, if not even after the time of the Bayis Sheni in Bavel. And here we're dealing with, in between, we're dealing with the very beginning of the Bayis Sheni, even if according to one opinion, even before the Bayis Sheni was even built. They were a whole different league of religious observance. There were very, very few Takanos of Chazal and Takanos de Rabbanan, and there was no formal prohibition for a Jew to drink Yayin Nesach, but it was still a custom. It was still a Jewish custom. It was together a minhag. And when we're dealing with minhagim, then there is much more leeway, much more room for leniency for the Rabbanon to say, for you, we can make an exception. You don't have to observe the minhag of not drinking Yayin Nesach. Go fast forward 400 years, they would never make such a dispensation. Don't take the job. Yayin Nesach is also midrabanan. There is no heder. But now, it's before that formal takana. It's nothing more than a custom. A custom, so the overall good of being present by the king and helping your brethren overrides this very weak custom at the time of drinking Yayin Nesach. That's why it's called heder shasa.
Do we have a certain thing about Daniel?
What?
Daniel also...
Also,
he got a
heter. Hatter Shasa is Daniel. So they say the same thing for him. Hatter Shasa clearly means to be matir, to permit. I mean, it's not really, it's a Persian word, but Chazal, they very commonly do this. They take these Persian words and they find references, allusions to things that would take place at the time. But in Echlam, there's a disagreement as to who is this person, Hatter Shasa, that's mentioned in Daniel. Whoever you say it is, you'll say that it was Daniel, then in Echlam. So Daniel was serving then as the Sar HaMashkin. But according to Rashi, Rashi learns that it was Nehemiah, and that we have very solid proof because it says here explicitly, you can't do better than this. Vani Hayisi Mash. So, I mean, what more do you want? He was the Sar HaMashke, and he's also called Heter Shasa, Hatar Shasa, Heter Shasa. You put one and one together, you get two. It has to be that Nehemiah was Hatar Shasa. Yeah.
I think the same Heter existed, right? Sheldon Silva.
Yeah.
Participates in...
He doesn't eat, he doesn't drink.
No, but he participates in the legislature Shabbos.
So there's no Chil Shabbos. You can go there.
And it becomes... There are things, like Jack Lew,
yeah.
Remember he once said, when he worked for Clinton, he didn't pick up the phone on Shabbos.
Okay.
So Rav told him, you have to. Because you're involved in...
Okay, there are different opinions. You have to... I don't know. There are different opinions. It's very complicated. I don't know.
There's a little bit there. You can do it.
Supposedly Obama has told him, he knows that he has to leave early on Fridays. Yeah. He tells him, Jack, is in the time for you to leave him.
I don't know the answer. I don't know. It's very complicated.
Leave him in his ginnak.
As is Rav.
As is Rav. Okay. I mean, that's what he says.
Yeah. Menachem Ginnak. Menachem Ginnak. Okay, they're different. It's obviously very complicated. There's a fantastic story. There's a book came out 2-3 years ago, The Prime Ministers.
Yes.
So there's There's a story there with one of the people who worked for Menachem Begin, another prime minister. I don't remember details, and he was very mocked, but he was one of the chief of staff. I don't know what his role was, and it was a very dangerous time. And the agreement, he was very talented. He was a PR person for one of the prime ministers, and they needed him, and he says, "No, it's Shabbos. The situation is not so dangerous where you need me to write up some type of a letter for the media, a press release for what's going on." And he stormed out. He left the cabinet meeting. It was Shabbos. I'm not being Michal Shabbos. And then he met Rav, and it bothered him. He didn't know if he did the right thing. And he met Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, Zechet Tzadik Levracha, and he told him very strongly he did the wrong thing. It's Sakana. And even though to you it seems like it's not so important, and it was very important. They write all the details of what happened, and he was needed. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach told him that he should have been Mechal Shabbos to write a press release for for the television, for Channel 7, whatever it is, whatever it was, channel, whatever it was, because, so in a chanami, there are different madrigas of sakana. It's a very, very complicated issue, and there are many opinions. Okay, but the point over here is we do have a precedent, you're right, we do exile, and there's no question all Rabbanim that deal with these issues of Orthodox Jews serving in government, you have here something to work with. Heter Shasa. This is that book, the thick book, fantastic book. And we have here a precedent. Heter Shasa Va'ani. It says here very clearly. There's no medrash. It's explicit. Va'ani Hayisi Mashke LaMelech. Okay, no drushes. It's an apostic, explicit apostic. An Orthodox Jew. Nehemiah, I was the Mashke LaMelech, which means I drink the wine and then I give him the wine. If you open up Shulchan Aruch, it says it's also to do so. What's the answer? Heter Shasa, Rashi. They made a special dispensation. Why? Put a little bit of a good twist. It was before it was formally prohibited. It was only together a minute, therefore there's more room to work. How far does that go? Very good, difficult question. Now, one further point before we go further, that this is a very unusual. These last four words are very unusual. We are in the middle of a prayer. We're middle over here in a very elaborate prayer. Start with Pasuk Dalet. Vayihi kishani es advar mo'ela yoshavti vo'efke vo'es abalo yamim vo'ihi v'tso mispal lefnei elokei ha'shamayim vo'imar. Pasuk Hey begins the prayer. And the prayer continues all the way through Pasuk Yud at the end of the parak. And then the last words of the Pasuk, v'ani hoyisi mashke lamelech. That's seemingly not part of the prayer. And the Mitzudah Stavit clearly says it's not. If you look at the Mitzudah Stavit Pasuk Yud Aleph, let us see that Pasuk. V'ani, look what he says, the last words of the Pasuk, v'ani, ein ze midivrei hatzvila, rak omer al atzmo, shehoye mashke lamelech, ulahazbir mashnemer achaz. This is an introduction into the next Pasuk, shehevi yayin lefnei hamelech, what we're going to see in the next parak. Now, according to the Mitzudas, this is very typical of the style of writing in Ksuvim. We had an example of this, uche enes, going back in Ezra, there was a pasuk. I once showed you a pasuk where we had the last word of the pasuk. I don't remember the details, but I think it said the word Uche'enes. And according to most of the commentators, it means the name of a place. But there were some commentators that translated that word to mean and now. And like Beidan. And now the following event happened. And the question was, if that's really what it means, Uche'enes, it means Kan, now. The word should appear in the beginning of the next pasuk. It should not be the last word of the previous pasuk. And we explained that according to some commentators, this is a style of writing that we're not familiar with from Chamish and Chumshei Torah and from the Nevi'im. This is a style of writing where the end of a sentence is a lead-in to the next sentence. Just like we know that we read Nevi'im Achreinim, we take a pasuk, we take the words, it's a puzzle, every pasuk is a puzzle, and we take the words, and we rearrange the words to make sense out of the pasuk. Words are thrown in for stylistic purposes, but it's never meant to be read in order, like we are so familiar and brainwashed when we read English. It's a different style of writing. This is also a unique character of the style of writing of Sefer Ksuvim, which appears it's borrowed, or maybe other languages took it from us. You have this in other secular languages, where you have a sentence, and deliberately, in order to show that this theme, this sentence, shall be read together, build leads into the next sentence, within one sentence, you already begin the theme of the next sentence. And that's exactly what's happening according to the opinion of the Mitzudos. The Tfilu concludes, and then in that same breath, don't pause, we're already going into the next theme, we're going into what's happening in the next parasha. That's a unique approach. However, some are not so excited about this approach. Maybe it's the Ralbag. I think I saw in the art scroll, he quotes this, that this is part of another Ralbag. The Re Mitarna, there's another parish. Re Mitarna says that this was part of his prayer, which required, and doesn't explain what that means, doesn't really explain the significance of what that means. Vani hoyisi mashke lamelech. I am the Mashke Lemelech. That is part of the tefillah that Nehemiah is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now what in the world does that mean? I am the Mashke Lemelech. I'm praying to you, Hashem. I am the Mashke to the Melech. No. What? Yeah.
Isn't the whole thing here is that Nehemiah is asking, is hoping that he'll get permission from Dayavish to leave?
Right.
So what he's saying is that I need extra rachamim, help from Hashem,
okay,
because I wasn't a stama person. I was very close to the king of Mashke Lemelech. Maybe the king depends on me. Maybe whatever.
So it's part of. So you're saying it's part of the very simple way. You're saying that you're saying something personal. Rabbi Shalom, I need a lot of help. I'm the Mashke Lemelech. I'm the Mashke Lemelech. He's not going to let me go. I'm extremely desperate,
right,
because if I were just a regular person in the country, a politician, I'd make a request, so maybe he would grant my request. But if the king's going to agree my request, I'm going to have to leave him. And it's not going to be so easy for him to find someone that's reliable to give him the mashke. He's not going to let me go. Therefore, I'm extremely desperate. Ona, ona, Hashem, hatzlichona. Right, so that's really how the Mefarshim learn. That's a very simple approach. It's part of the tefillah. There are Rishonim that learn that, not like the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos clearly says that this is not part of the request, that he's not speaking here to Hashem. All the Rishonim say no, he's speaking to Hashem. And he's saying to Hashem, as he's saying very simply, Ribbono Shel Olam, I really need your help. Because this is not going to be easy. Al Derech HaTeva, he's going to tell me no, because I need you to do your job. And that's the most important thing. But on a deeper level, on a deeper plane, what?
Often says what you were, you know, it's in room one plus one.
It goes into the next one. So run on, it goes in. That's style of writing. This comes from the album, the style of writing overlaps. Okay. But now, but there's another approach, and this is more of a Hasidish mahalach, a Hasidish approach, but it's cited in a number of sources. That what is the role of a mashka? What do you do when you serve wine? You dilute the wine. Ancient times, it was impossible to drink raw wine. Even today wine is processed. We don't really know what wine would taste like if we had the real thing. Everything today is done with technology and v'chulu. But in ancient times, you have the raw product, you have the grape juice, and you let it ferment. And if you were to drink the raw wine, you get sick. How you add water? How much water do you add? So the Gemara talks about there's a talent. You add 3 parts water, 4 parts water. The Gemara talks about there's a certain, you can recognize the butler by the way the wine tastes. You know there's a talent in how you dilute the raw wine. Yayin in the Olam of Kabbalah represents din, midas hadin. It's harshness. Mayim is rachamim. When you dilute wine, what you're doing is you're being mamtik din. You are diluting the harshness of Hashem's hanhaga with us from midas hadin to midas harachamim. Hashem created the world, He demanded perfection. Hashem wanted man to be perfect. If man would step out of line, even the smallest degree, Hashem would punish and destroy the world. Hashem saw that the world would not be able to exist because man is far from perfect. So, b'yom b'ro, Hashem Elokim, es ha-shamayim v'es ha-aretz. Originally it was b'reishis bara Elokim. Hashem wanted the world to exist with the midah of din. Hashem saw the world cannot stand on din alone. So Hashem was mitzoreif rachamim to din. When Hashem ate rachamim to din, what did Hashem do? Hashem served as a sar hamashkin. He diluted din with rachamim. Here, Nehemiah is saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, I am a mashke lemelech. He's saying, this is how he concludes. It's a poetic, it's the signature of a prayer. Just like when you finish your davening, what do you say? That's the signature. That's the last, you know, the sign off. How do you sign off your signature? This is the ancient equivalent of Yehiyu L'Ratzonim Reifi. Now, you're supposed to say today, after you finish Shmoneh Esrei, Shlich Tzibur, put that in Mishnah Berurah, Shlich Tzibur, when you finish saying Hamavarech Hasamo Yisrael Ba Shalom, you're supposed to say Yehiyu L'Ratzonim Reifi V'Hegel Milufnach Hashem Tzri V'Goali. So some say it loud, some say it quietly. So when there's no Tachnun, So what happens? Everyone starts screaming, Yiskadal. And they don't give the poor guy. So many people don't know the halacha. They say, Amvarech HaSamo Yishol Bashalom Yiskadal. They don't even breathe in between the two. But you're really supposed to say Yihiyu L'Ratzon. If I'm not mistaken, the Mishnah Berurah says you should say it quietly. You're not supposed to say it out loud. Just say it quietly. But if you say it quietly, you're in a catch 22. So right away, the Olam is impatient. Don't you know there's no Tachlum today? How can you pause? You skadal, so they jump on you. But the signature, your sign off is Yehiyu L'Ratzon. This is the ancient equivalent of Yehiyu L'Ratzon. Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm finished with my prayer. And what is prayer? I am your Sar HaMashkin. I'm coming to give you Mashka. I'm coming to pour for you, pour out my prayer. And the way I will, and my prayer is, what is prayer? The essence of prayer is to be mamtik din. There's harshness that's coming down to this world because we're not deserving. Hashem is conducting His will with midas hadin. We pray, don't judge us with midas hadin. Sweeten the din. Dilute the din with rachamim. That's exactly what a sar hamashke does. Exactly. Exactly. It's the signature, the sign-off of prayer. I finish my prayer. How do you know I finish prayer? So if today, you know, if a person says, you know you feel, you know you finished. That's the end. Vani hayisi mashke lemelech. I was, I am, hayisi, the past tense, a mashke to you, the melech, lauche hamlochim. I'm diluting the wine with water. I'm asking you to dilute the harshness of din with rachamim. So this is another approach. So basically, sakako, we have three mahalchim. We have the chassidish mahalach, which I just told you. It's the signature of the prayer. We have the other approach is that it's part of the prayer. It's just an elaboration. Hashem, I'm extremely desperate. He's not going to listen to me. So therefore, I just want to make it clear that He's not going to want to listen to me because I'm the Mashke Lemelech. So please help me out. And then you have the Mitzudas that says, no. None of the above. This is not part of the prayer. This is the Hakdama to the next section. And that opens up a whole new issue. So why isn't there a period? Why isn't there a new pasuk? A new pasuk. We have a Mesorah. Okay, we have a right to assume this is part of the Mesorah. This is not part of the next parasha. There's a parasha break here. That's a style of writing that's unique to Sefer Kisuvim. Okay, so we will just see the Mitzudos and just pasuk Yud. Alpha the Mitzvah Stab Avodecha Chayz Al Atzmai Tzilas Avodecha Chayz Al Kol Mispalim Asher Chafetzim Liyved Hashem VeYatzlich VeChayz VeFarish Tav Dvar Hatzlocha SheYitnei LeRachmu LeFnei Melech SheYimali SheLosok. Okay, that concludes. We did that one for. Okay, so we'll stop here with Perek Days.